Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, if you'd like to join along in your own Bible or a pew Bible. Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Jeremiah 3. Before we read, let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Abba, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, grant us your Holy Spirit, that through the reading and preaching of your word, we might be true learners of Christ, that we might follow him with all our heart. And in his holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah 3, verses 19 and 20. I said, how I would set you among my sons and give you a pleasant land, a heritage most beautiful of all nations. And I thought you would call me my father and would not turn from following me. Surely as a treacherous wife leaves her husband, so have you been treacherous to me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 6. We'll just be looking at one verse today, Matthew 6, verse 9. But we are in the middle of a study on the Sermon on the Mount, and in this sermon, in this teaching, Jesus is showing us what life in the kingdom looks like. Life following him. If you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've experienced salvation in him and through him, then the Sermon on the Mount shows you how you're to live, how you're to live life. This, the Sermon on the Mount, this Jesus is teaching here, this is life that God intended for you. This is life that God desires for you. It's life lived in the Holy Spirit. Well, today we begin a section in the Sermon on the Mount on prayer. It's a new section on prayer. Jesus, in this section, Jesus teaches his followers, he teaches his disciples, he teaches you how to pray. And he does so through a prayer known as the Lord's Prayer. Now, this has been called the Lord's Prayer down through the centuries because it was given by the Lord. It was given by the Lord Jesus. However, it's really a disciples' prayer. Jesus gives it, but he gives it to us. He gives it to his followers. It's really our prayer, a disciples' prayer. And this prayer that Jesus gives is the very center of the Sermon on the Mount. We are in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it doesn't work out to be the center if you go back and you count up verses and you go after it and you count out verses and number them. The way the verses are set up, it's not going to equal out. But in the Greek, there are 116 lines before the Lord's Prayer and 114 lines after the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. Prayer is the heart of life following Jesus Christ. Now, for the next 5 or 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at this prayer, and we'll be looking at it verse by verse, line by line, petition by petition. We're going to take our time working through it. And you'll see that there are 6 petitions in the Lord's Prayer, 6 requests in the Lord's Prayer. And these 6 petitions can be divided into 2. They can be divided into half. Much like the 10 commandments, there are 2 tables in the Lord's Prayer, 2 sections in the Lord's Prayer. The first table contains the first 3 petitions. And these first 3 petitions are directed toward God. They are focused on God. Just listen to the pronouns in these petitions. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Focused on the Lord. So the second table contains the last 3 petitions. And these last 3 petitions in the Lord's Prayer are about us. They're our requests. They're our needs. Again, listen to the pronouns. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. So two tables. Well, today we're going to begin our study of the first table of the Lord's Prayer and the first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6, verse 9. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, the heart of the Christian life is prayer. Talking to God, communicating with God. And so often the question is this, how do I pray? Or what do I pray? Now, down through the centuries, God's people have answered this question by pointing primarily to two places. Two places. The Psalms and the Lord's Prayer. The Psalms and the Lord's Prayer. If you want to know how, if you want to learn how to pray, if you want to know what to pray, if you want to know the language of prayer, go to the Psalms and go to the Lord's Prayer. Pray the Psalms and pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, not only are they prayers, they are that. Not only are they prayers, God-given, God-inspired, God-breathed prayers, they're also guides to prayer. They're both prayers and guides to prayer. And we see this clearly in our one verse passage from Matthew. Jesus begins in verse 9 with these words, pray then like this. Pray then like this. Now notice he doesn't say, hey, pray this, pray just this, pray these exact words. Pray then like this. Now, we certainly can pray the Lord's Prayer, and we should pray the Lord's Prayer. And if you are struggling with prayer and how to pray and what to pray, then pray the Lord's Prayer. But Jesus' words show us that we are not limited to these words only in prayer. Pray then like this, which means this, the Lord's Prayer is a pattern. The Lord's Prayer is an outline. The Lord's Prayer is a form. It's a model for prayer, for our prayer, which means this, we're free to pray in our own words. We're free to pray our own way, guided by this prayer and led by this prayer. In other words, Jesus gives us themes for prayer that we can expand on. He gives us an order for prayer that we can follow. He gives us a guide for prayer that we can fill. Pray then like this, Jesus says. And then he says, Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Jesus begins the prayer addressing, calling upon, invoking the one to whom the prayer is offered. Our Father. Jesus prays to the Father. He teaches us to pray to the Father. Now, this was new. This was new. This was unique. This was original to Jesus, praying to the Father. And here's what I mean. In Jesus' day, none of his contemporaries, no other teacher, no other rabbi, no other scribe, no other Pharisee, Sadducee, elder, or priest would have ever addressed or thought of addressing God as Father. Father was too familiar. Father was too intimate a designation for the one who created the heavens and the earth, for the creator of all things, for the one who gave the law, for the holy Lord of hosts. Father was too intimate. And here's the other thing. You will not find anyone in the Old Testament, you won't find anywhere in the Old Testament, in the Bible before Jesus, praying to God as Father. Addressing God as Father. Now, you will find passages in the Old Testament that refer to God as Father, that describe God as Father, but that's very different than a direct address, praying to Father. Now, one example is Psalm 103. Psalm 103 was our call to worship this morning. In that prayer, in verse 13, you find these words, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." As a father. It's not a prayer to the Father. Another example is in our passage from Jeremiah, our Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah. In this passage, the Lord is speaking through his prophet Jeremiah, and he's speaking to his people. Listen, I'm just going to read that passage again. It's just two verses, but listen again to that passage. "How I would set you among my sons and give you a pleasant land, a heritage most beautiful of all nations. And I thought you would call me my father and would not turn from following me. Surely, as a treacherous wife leaves her husband, so you have been treacherous to me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord." Now God says here through Jeremiah that his desire was to bless Israel. His desire was to bless Israel as a son. God's desire was that Israel, his children, would be faithful to him, that his children would call upon him, that they would address him as my father. My father. That was God's heart for his people. That was the relationship that he desired with his people, but they didn't. They could not. They would not. Because they were unfaithful, the Lord says. They were unfaithful to him. Unfaithful like an adulterous spouse. They were unfaithful because of their sin. They were unfaithful in their sin. They were disobedient to the Lord. They didn't follow the Lord's command. They didn't live in his will. And therefore, they were separated from God. They were alienated from God. They could not address him as my father. No one could. Until Jesus. Until Jesus. Until the only begotten Son of God. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. He is faithful. He is obedient. He is without sin. And every time Jesus prayed in the Gospels, every time Jesus prayed, he called upon the Father. He called upon his Father. Abba, which is Aramaic for daddy. Every time he called upon his Father, with one exception. One exception. That one exception was when he was dying on the cross. On the cross, Jesus cried out the words of Psalm 22. He prayed the words of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, Jesus prays, my God. Not my Father. On the cross, Jesus could not pray, my Father. On the cross, Jesus' relationship with the Father was broken. On the cross, Jesus was separated from the Father, alienated from the Father, because on the cross, Jesus took upon himself your sin, your disobedience, your unfaithfulness. And he also took the punishment for it. He took it for you, out of love for you, so that you would not have to. Jesus took your place, and in him, and through faith in him, he gives you a new status. He gives you the privilege, and he gives you the honor of being a child of the living God. You were wandering and lost. And Jesus comes and he finds you and he gives you a home and he gives you a family. In Jesus Christ, you are a son of the Father. You're a daughter of the Father. You belong to him. You belong to his household. He is your provider. He is your guardian. He is your Abba. your daddy. That is grace. It's a gift. It's an immeasurable, incalculable gift of love. Think of it, that the eternal, almighty, sovereign creator of the universe and everything in it, the one who fashioned the sun and the moon and the stars, who filled up the oceans and the rivers, who raised up the mountains, who upholds life, who holds the very march of time in his hands. He is your daddy, your father, who loves you, who cares for you, who provides for you. And nothing can separate you from that. In Jesus Christ, nothing can separate you from that. Nothing can take away that status, that privilege, that honor that God has given you through his Son. Jesus says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. Jesus says we are to pray to the Father. We're to pray to our Father, his Father, and your Father, and my Father. We have this personal, intimate relationship through Jesus, and your Father longs for you to come to him in prayer. He longs for you to bring to him your petitions and your needs. And we pray to our Father in heaven. Jesus says, pray to our Father in heaven. The Father is in heaven. Now, what this does, quite simply and succinctly, this simple phrase negates any New Age notions or any religious within-isms. And here's what I mean. We don't pray to the Father who is within us. We don't pray to the Father who is within all things. This isn't the force that we're praying to, that we become one with. It's our Father in heaven. He is over creation. He is above creation. He is not bound to creation. Again, here's the contrast. Our Father in heaven. He is our loving Father, and he is also Almighty God. He's both. He is our Father. He is merciful. But he's in heaven. He's also holy, both. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is the first petition of the prayer that we're finally getting to. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And it's focused on the Father. Hallowed be your name. When you pray, Jesus is saying, when you pray, focus on your Father, and focus on your Father first. Do that first. Hallowed be your name. The word hallowed is a bit challenging simply because it's a word that's dropped from the regular use of at least our English, except for whenever Halloween comes around. But it's dropped. We don't use this word much. But hallowed comes from a Greek word that means make holy. Make holy. It's where we get our word saint. It's where we get our word sanctify. This word usually refers to setting something apart, separating something for God's use. Therefore, it's holy. It's made holy. It's set apart for the Lord. So when you pray, hallowed be your name, you're praying. You're praying that the Father would make his name holy, that he would set apart his name, that he would set apart his name in your life, in your heart, in this city, in this nation, in all the earth, before all peoples, that the Father would be first, that the Father would be preeminent, honored, glorified, exalted above all. Specifically his name. And name is more than just a word. The Lord does not simply want the word Father to be made holy. Name here refers to one's true identity. Name refers to one's true identity, their real identity, who you really are, your character, your heart. Not rumor, not fabrication, not hype. We're in a culture where we have lots of hype about names, but none of that. In other words, God's name is God as he really and truly is, who he really is, how he has revealed himself, his heart, his character, his attributes. Praying, "Hallowed be your name," means this, that you desire God would make himself known as he really is. That the Father would make known his majesty and his glory and his beauty and his love and his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness that he has shown us in his Son, Jesus. That he's shown us. And that he would do that through you. That he would do that through his church. That he would do that in creation. That he would do that in all the earth so that people would see the Father for who he truly is. Who he really is, and what he has done, that his name would be praised. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when you pray, Jesus is saying, pray to your Father. Pray to your Father who knows you, who loves you. Pray to the one who is Lord of all. And pray that he would be known and glorified by you and in all the earth. Let us pray. We bless you and we praise your name. Our Father, you know us and you love us and you have saved us. Our Father, we pray that your name would be glorified in our lives, in this church, in this city, and throughout the earth. We pray, Father, that you would be known for who you are, for your mercy, for your faithfulness, and for your love that you've shown us through your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.